You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:05pm with Ross Brierley, Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Good cards of the obstacles at Ascot, Haydock and Wincanton. Graded races at all three of those venues. We also have all weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield alongside that. So four meetings this Saturday, and do tune in for all that. Right now, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Yes, mate, this morning. Still hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I said I was all right.
All right, yeah. We did the Irish podcast earlier on today, yeah.
Yeah. I look the same, don't I?
Well,
because you didn't see me earlier on. Yeah, I suppose your question's valid.
With regards to the racing podcast, Andy,
yes.
I haven't had you on here for a while.
No.
I'd ask you if anything's changed, but I speak to you every day for the Irish stuff anyway. So yeah.
Looking forward to this weekend as well, Mark. We've got a really star-studded bunch of jump racing, haven't we?
Yeah.
I know with Cheltenham around the corner, we shouldn't expect too much, but we have got, I must admit, small but quality fields, and you can't really complain. I know a lot of people can say, oh, you know, there's only single figure for us, but the horses we have got running, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, had a quick look, and we're going to do some of them justice now.
Yeah, I suppose the weather's been the issue as well. If it wasn't such a testing surface, then we might have seen a few more, but like you say, still quality horses on show nevertheless. Not too far away from the Cheltenham Festival either, Andy. Are you, at this point, you must have most of your shortlist sorted out for the big races.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I haven't had that many bets, but I'm in fairly decent position with my main Cheltenham bet, which is Bristol Domain in the JLT. I backed him at a reasonably nice price, and he's worked his way to the top of the leaderboard, courtesy of a couple of good subsequent performances, and of course, frailties and question marks over a lot of the main market rivals, including Shane's Hill, who blotted his copybook the other day.
Yeah.
Other horses look as though they're going to go elsewhere. Lammy Surge looks like he's Arkle-bound. Garda Victor Arkle-bound. Sergeant John, Willie O'Rounty run here. More than that, looks as though he's an RSA horse.
Yep.
Outlander, he might be the F in the O. But other than that, you know, Bristol May's got everything going for him. He's a grade one winning chaser. He jumps well. Chandler should suit. Graham won't mind. What's not to like?
Yeah, and with Kalutovic coming out of the race a few
weeks
ago.
Well, that was the other bonus, yeah. I mean, you'd hate to have a little bit of smugness attached to yourself when horses come out, because it will happen to you sooner rather than later. So you're always better off just keeping your head down and just taking the good when it does come along.
All right, I just want to get your thoughts on the champion hurdle as well, Andy. Obviously, massive news earlier on in the week that defending champion Forheen won't be there to defend his crown. Annie Power then inserted in the betting for the race. It still needs to be supplemented, but 5-2 at the top of the market. Arctic Fire 7-2, 5-1 for Nichols Canyon, 6s for Identity Thief. My Tent or Yours is 8s, 9s are bigger for the others. First question, Andy, is if he has Arctic Fire and Nichols Canyon, both would have very live chance in the race anyway. Why was Annie Power suddenly considered?
Because she's owned by Rich Ritchie.
Yeah, is it an owner thing?
And Rich Ritchie, you know, he's in the game for winning the big blue ribbon prizes, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's not taking anything away or detracting from the World Hurdle, which is a prestigious race in its own right. But asked which race you'd want to win, I think most owners would want the Gold Cup first,
yeah,
which he's got the favourite, Vator, and the second is the Champion Hurdle. And being as he's lost the right to win it this year with the obvious favourite, Faheen, he's got a more than able substitute in the shape of Annie Power. And being as he's got extra bullets to fire in the mare's races,
yeah, vroom, vroom,
vroom, vroom, mag, yeah, in the race that Annie Power should have won last year, and Limini, of course, in the new augural running of their grade one event. You could see why it's very tempting for connections that they would be considering running the Champion Hurdle. I almost think it's a certainty they'll run this in the Champion Hurdle.
Yeah.
Because they've run her in the World Hurdle before, albeit she ran really well. She did get beat.
Finished second, didn't she?
And we're still not sure whether the 3 miles is going to be her correct distance, and you've got that looming presence of Thistlecrack in this year's race, who's looked by a long, long way the best horse in that category for many a year. Very rarely do we see an even money shot in a Grade One race over staying distances, and he's quite rightly favoured. So, all things equal, I think, particularly with that non-running bet, I don't think you could lose with that 5-2 William Hill non-running bet. If she does run in the World Hurdle, you haven't lost your money. If she does run in the Champion, I think she'd be shorter than 5-2.
Fair enough. Can't disagree. And then if Ruby Walsh elects to ride, she'll probably shorten again.
Exactly. And I think she's got the class to win it. Just because she's been more accustomed to running over 2 miles doesn't mean to say that she hasn't got the boot for two. I mean, all her winning form prior to when she's moved up in distance has been over the shorter distance. They only really pushed her to be a 2.5 mile, 3 mile horse because they had Forheen.
Yeah.
And they wanted to avoid her. They didn't want to clash with those two in the 2 mile category. So,
fair enough.
I think this is a great opportunity for Annie's Power just to show what a good mare she is.
All right. My turn, I yours at 8-1. Nicky Henderson's saying he's avoiding running him on heavy ground, obviously, which is, it makes sense after such a long absence. You don't want to then run him on heavy ground a few weeks before Cheltenham. He finished runner-up in a Champion Hurdle before. Is there a chance that he could bounce back and is he probably the best of the home brigade? Or?
I think he probably is on quality, but whether he's as mentally tuned up for a race like this I was going to say the ripe old age, but he's only 9, of course. I don't know, I've just got my reservation about Martin to yours. I've always been a big fan of his because of his bridle work on the bridle and the way he kind of like swaggers through a race. He's got a touch of sprinter sacra about him, hasn't he? But it's his off the bridle exploits which have always let him down. And
because he's too keen, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've tried all kind of things within the hood and try to drop him in. If McCoy can't hold him, then there's not many jockeys around at will. He's going to be obviously very fresh if he goes straight to the Champion Hurdle without a run. That's why they're looking to get a run into him, and hence the fact he's been at race called Gallops, just trying to get the fizz out of him. But he looks as big as an ox the day at Kempton when he went round with stable companion Hargam. He's an interesting contender, but now at 8-1, I mean, he was 33-1 about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I know Forheen's out, but he wouldn't interest me at that price.
Right. Yeah, the news today is that he's going to probably have another race course gallop before he goes to the festival, which is what you'd expect, really.
And he power just pulverise him.
Yeah, fair enough. Min, Andy, there was a little bit of concern about Min, apparently, in market drift on the exchanges, but Willie Mullins has quashed all that.
Do you ever watch Keith Lemon?
Yeah.
And he's what's that show he has, the... Celebrity but, Juice.
Yeah.
Too. They have that feature when they're in the toilet, through in the toilet cubicles.
Yeah.
And the one starts with the one saying on the start, and then you have to lip read what they're saying, and you get passed on to the end.
Yeah.
Well, this is very much like the Min situation. I think somebody said that, oh, Min might go for the Champion Hurdle, and then all of a sudden somebody's put 2-2 together. By the time it's got to the end of the line, it's Min's out for the season. Courtesy of social media and Twitter and misinterpretation of texts and messages. Yeah.
Chinese whispers,
basically. Chinese whispers, yeah. It was a long-winded way of me getting to where I wanted to get, just to make it a bit more pleasant on the ear.
Yeah, I liked where you were going with it. Yeah. You painted a picture.
But you, yeah.
So you're not worried about me?
My version was a better version.
It was much more entertaining.
It was a convoluted one. But, yeah, I mean, Min's, as we've talked about him before, he's the best novice around, isn't he? He deserves to be where he is in the market. I think there are Reachwell alternatives, like Altior, whose form keeps getting boosted.
Yep.
Time and time again. I mean, even the horse of Dan Skelton's the other day that won at Newbury, won the first race at Newbury, beat the odds on shot, emerging talent. He was 6 in that Kempton race. Open Eagle, he was 2nd or 3rd in it, and it's just brilliant form. So Altior's the only obvious threat to Min at this stage.
All right, anything else to add, or should we get stuck into Saturday?
I've run out of ways of describing things.
Convoluted ways, yeah. All right, in that case, let's get stuck into Saturday's action. We'll get Andy's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at two races at Ascot and two races at Haydock. We start at Ascot in their 150, which is the Reynoldstown Novices Chase. It's a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 7.5 furlongs. We do have betting out on site already. Drumaku is 2-1 at the top of the market, 5-2 for one night in Vienna. Vita de Rock, 3-1. It's then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. So only three of these in single-figure prices, Andy, is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah. Wouldn't be so keen on Vita de Rock. than I would be on the other two at the top of the market. I think Drummaker is a really nice horse. He was always a highly regarded individual when he was trained by Michael Hourigan in Ireland. And Ben Pauling, who's had a stellar season, almost like a breakthrough season for him, has proven that he can handle a top-class Grade 1 horse, obviously with Barters Hill. He looks as though he's got a really smart stay in the shape of Drummaker, who was not flattered in any way by beating Fletcher's Flyers, a very good horse in his own right, very comfortably at Huntingdon on his seasonal reappearance stroke. First run for Ben. Jumped really well and he powered clear and he looked a smart horse that day. It was a very good time and we know he stays really well, and because he goes here fresher than most with fewer convictions, he probably is just about a worthy market leader. And I do like the combination Nico de Boinville and Ben Pauling as well. They just seem to be on the same page. So I think he's the one to beat. But interesting runner, he's this one night in Vienna, who rather kamikazically for me is entered in the Grand National, and because it's obviously owned by West Tips owners, they're thinking of running him in the National. He's only had three runs over fences, albeit they've been very good ones. Surely that's not the right move. They want to be running this horse in the 4 miler. If there was ever a race in the calendar tailor made for this, a novice over the 4 miles of Cheltenham, a track where he's already run well behind Black Lion, of course, is one of the fancies for the RSA. It's this horse. I just don't know what connections are thinking, not entertaining Cheltenham. He ran really well last time out behind one of Ben's, which gives Ben a little bit of a guideline here, because he trains local show, who this horse just got beat by at Kempton. But he stays really well in not one night in Vienna. If there's any chinks in any of the horse's armoury, this one exploits it. I think it's between these two strong stayers, because I'm not sure about Vita de Rock over 3 miles. So it's a bit of a toss of the coin between those two.
Which way if I press you, Drummaker?
Probably Drummaker, yeah.
All right. The 205 at Haydock is where we go next. This one is what used to be the Rendlesham Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 6.5 furlongs. We've got six of them in the lineup here, and Rev de Civil heads the market at the time recording this, 9-4. One Track Mind is 3-1, 4-1 for At Fisher's Cross. Sils Holl is 9-2, 11-2 Deputy Dan, and Fox Cub is the 33-1 outsider. What do you make of Rev de Civil here, Andy, at the top of the market? Because obviously a proven staying hurdler, went over fences last time, which probably not at his best over the bigger obstacles. So returning to hurdles here, what chance do you give him?
Possibilities. Obviously, that run behind Thistlecrack is still relevant, isn't it, for staying hurdle purposes. But it is at Ascot, and that's where he's had all his best form for the last 3 or 4 years. I think he won that race three times on the spin, didn't he? Not so good left-handed. Cheltenham's not necessarily his track nowadays either, so these kind of races are the only ones that are left open for him. I think he would have been better suited if this race is at Kempton, which it used to be when it was the old Rendlesham in inverted commas. I think At Fisher's Cross has totally gone at the game. I've seen enough of him recently to put a fork in him. So you're probably left with the dangerous floaters, Deputy Dan and One Track Mind. Deputy Dan's got loads of class. Whether he's mentally tough enough to get the job done is always a question mark with him. He's had plenty of chances to get his head in front of late, but he just always seems to just find one too good. So you're left with One Track Mind from the Great Tricks camp. Obviously, Warren's got one of the favourites for the World Hurdle in last year's hero, Cole Harden. And this horse is very much on the upgrade and talked upon in the same kind of terms that Cole Harden was in his earlier days. He's obviously got to prove himself in much better grade, but he does stay well. And I know Warren's eyeing up the Per Temps final for this one after whatever happens today. But you know, we might as well take this on board on the way up, and we might get a nice price about him as well.
Yeah, his price is 3-1.
Yeah, not a bad price. Yeah.
All right. Staying at Haydock actually next for their 240. This one is a Grand National Trial Grade 3 handicap chase over 3.5 miles. The market for this race looks like this at present. Mountainous is 7-2 at the top of the market. 9-2 Gasline Boy. Cloudy 2 is 5-1. Broadway Buffalo is 11-2, 7-1 for Rigged End de Beauchene, 15-2 Bishop's Road, and 9-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's a Grand National Trial mainly in name, because no horse has ever won this and then gone on to win the big prize in the same season. But we've got some real proven stayers, the likes of Mountainous, who've been there and done that, won Welsh Nationals and so on and so forth, Andy. So what do you make of the race?
Well, it's been a great year for Kerry Lee, isn't it? We all know that, been well documented, and she's ushered up a two-pronged attack here with Mountainous, Welsh National winner, and of course Bishop's Road, who won first time for her following a campaign in Ireland in the care of Henry de Bromhead. Both of them look honest as the day long, but just Mountainous obviously had such a hard race in the Welsh National, even though it's 42 days away ago, I'd have to oppose him. Bishop's Rose, best form up to now, is going right-handed. So I'd also pass him over. And the one I'm going to come up with here is Gasline Boy for Jim Bestab. I think he used to be with Philip Hobbs, but he's got such a great record here at Haydock, this horse, that it's simply hard to oppose him, really. He was fourth in this race last year to Life for It. He was in the process of running a big one the other day behind Cloudy 2 when he unseated Ride at the 14th. I think he was going like the best that day. In the first time visor, they seem to have been sharpening him up. And the headgear's on again. But if you go back through all his runs, you know, soft or heavy ground, staying distances, absolutely tailor-made for this horse. Don't forget he won the Betfair Home of the Rush, Home of Price Rush Handicap Chase in 2014 over three and a half miles. So we know he gets the trip. And he's not badly handicapped, so I'd probably go with Gasline Boy.
Gasline Boy for Andy then in the Grand National Trial. And the final race we look at is the Grade 1 contest at Ascot, the 3:35, the Ascot Chase. Betting headed by Sauvignaco Conti, who's 5-2, 7-2 for Dynast, 6-1 for Royal Regatta. Trio de Len is 6s, as is Marfilet. 7-1 for Fleming Star, and 12s or bigger for the others. Interesting to see Sauvignaco Conti here, Andy. 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip, so interesting that they're going back in trip with him rather than heading towards the Grand National, which was the original call earlier on in the season.
Yeah, there's probably not that many races left now for Sauvignaco Conti to shine in. He's obviously on the downground. He wasn't as good as he was. He pulled up in the King George. That was his first signs of decay. He's had the blinkers on now just to kind of give him something else to think about. Obviously, Paul Nicholls is running out of options. He's not good enough to win a Gold Cup. Cheltenham's not his race. Aintree, the bowl is obviously a target, perhaps, if he runs well or wins this. I just don't see him as a strong bet at the price. Dean Astor, he's got the blinkers on. Again, you're asking the headgear to work the Oracle with a horse who's not really shown his best for the last two seasons. Fleming Star, I'm not sure whether he gets 2 mile 5. And then those are the three highest rated horses in the race. So you're looking at the dangerous floaters, and the one that springs out for me here is Royal Regatta, who I think is one of those horses that, in a better race where they go a stronger gallop than sometimes the handicaps he runs in, he might just be better off, because he was in front too soon for me the last day, and Dare Me picked him off, but he just basically pulled too hard with Richard Johnson. He'd lost his race in the early part of that race, but they should go a good gallop here. You've got several front runners that like to dominate, namely Sauvignaco Conti, Anna Moore Alto, maybe Dinast. It'll allow Tom O'Brien just to drop this horse's head and give him a chance, which he hasn't been having of late. With the dead eight runners, if you can get sort of an each-way price, 11-2 with William Hill, don't think he'd be too far away with the course and distance winner Royal Regatta.
You do better than 11-2, 6-1 at the moment with William.
No, we pushed him out as we're speaking. The odds compiler was listening to me and he said, Andy Holdings tipped it right, 11-2, you can have 6 now.
Keep talking, we'll get 7s.
I know, yeah. if you tipped him as well, we'd get 7s.
I'll tell you what, if I tipped him, you'd get 10s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be warned in front of it.
Good stuff, Andy. As usual, let's have a little bit of a summary then, if you'll spin us 3 or 4 for Saturday one more time.
God, I can't remember all them. Well, it was 5 minutes ago. Right, we start off with Drummer Coon in the Reynoldstown. One Track Mind in the Haydock 205. Then we go back to Ascot for... No, we don't. We stay at Haydock. Goodness me. This is going seamlessly. Gasline Boy in the Grand National Trial. And then finally, we go back to Ascot for Royal Regatta.
Good stuff. Thanks very much, Andy. Been a pleasure having you back on here. And,
no problem.
Good luck. Enjoy it on Saturday.
Thanks, Mike.
There you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05 PM with Ross Briley. Andy Holding will be in the studio and Craig Forsyth as well. We've got good cards at Ascot, Haydock and Wincanton. That's over the obstacles. And we've got all weather racing at Lingfield as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.